Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Steve Ely, who is former president of a division of Equifax, another credit reporting agency you may have heard of, and he is the current CEO of eCredible, which is an alternative data credit reporting bureau. And so, Steve, welcome to WGN Radio.
Lisa, I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to speak with all the folks on WGN again today.
Well, it is really nice to have you here. So, Steve, let's talk about these numbers, because having 106 million accounts in some sort of forbearance spread across student loans, auto loans, mortgages, personal loans, credit card accounts, in your long history of working in the credit industry, have you ever seen a number like this?
No, really not even remotely close. You know, a lot of people are trying to make comparisons to what happened in 2008 and all the things we went through with the Great Recession. But these, you know, there was a very different economic impact than what we're seeing today. The damage to an extraordinary number of consumers and their credit histories and therefore their credit scores will probably, it's just unprecedented. I know everyone uses that word every single day too many times, but it's really true here. The number that just really jumped out at me out of all the stats you just rattled off is it's the student loan one. You know, for it to triple from, what was about 30 million up to 79 million, more than tripled. It was 18 million last month, 79 million this month.
Right.
That's a pretty clear indication that a lot of people with student loans just aren't paying those loans. The only thing I can say about that I know that's going on, because I talk to a lot of these lenders, is that the majority of the student loan servicers and lenders have deferred or put in forbearance many of these payments. And so while it's certainly not good that people aren't paying those loans, the good news here for most consumers is that it's not damaging their credit scores right now. Okay. And so that's a good thing.
Right. So according to Capital One, they say that, and Capital One obviously has credit cards, that the number has gone this month to 2% of credit card accounts in forbearance, up from 1% mid-April. 13% of its auto loan accounts are in forbearance, up from 9%. So that would indicate that even though now people have the unemployment money, the extra $600, you got your $1,200 in stimulus, what it says to me is it's just not enough.
No, it's not enough. You know, we can debate the stats of how many people live paycheck to paycheck, but it's somewhere between, 50 and 70% of the U.S. Working population. And so if you're living paycheck to paycheck, there's no way that a $1,200 government stimulus check or a little bit of unemployment is going to help you weather this storm. It's just not enough. And so as much as you'd like to give somebody some advice that's a silver bullet, that's magic, that's going to protect them from harming their credit in this environment, that's going to be very difficult to do for a lot of people. You know, if you haven't been able to talk with your lender or your creditor and get some new terms with them that would allow them to let you delay payments for 60, 90, maybe even 120 days, then you're probably going to damage your credit score. There's just very little you can do about it.
I want to open up the phone lines, 312-981-7200. Steve is one of these people that you can really ask any sort of credit report or credit score, given all your vast history, questions to, and how things might, and I, of course, have a ton of questions, but if you want to ask a question about credit reporting or credit scores, 312-981-7200. So, Steve, you know, in the CARES Act, it specifically said that if you've got a federally backed student loan or a federally backed mortgage, that you could defer for a particular point of time. For mortgages, I think it's 6 months with another 6 month renewable period. It was a little bit less for federal student loans, and it was supposed to happen. That, of course, caused problems behind the scenes. And in some cases, people have been writing in and saying, well, their credit score went down anyway, even though it wasn't supposed to hit the credit scores. But there are other loans, like auto loans and personal loans and private student loans, there's no protection there against it hitting your credit score, right?
No, there isn't. And it's really up to it's up to the company that you have the loan with to make a determination on how they want to report your payment status to the bureaus. They have a couple of options. You know, basically one option is to say that this isn't forbearance. It's similar to what would happen if in the case of a natural disaster. Let's say you were in Florida and you got hit by a hurricane and you knew you were going to pay your mortgage for 6 months. There's a way to indicate that on your credit report so that it doesn't harm your credit score. So there's a they're using a similar approach right now to accommodate some of those loans. Another approach, and it's one that we're using with our customers because we help customers report their utility bills to TransUnion. And what we're doing in that case is if you're not able to pay that on time, we're not going to report it as being late. We're simply going to report it as no payment data available that month. So it's not helping you build your credit score, but it's not going to harm your credit score either. And as long as that doesn't go on for an extended period of time, things will work out in the end. I think what a lot of people are worried about is that if this were to last for longer than 6 months, it could start to have a pretty significant impact on the overall quality of the credit reporting and credit scoring system. You know, all these credit scoring models that are, you know, very difficult for most people to understand, they're based upon having repeatable, quality, accurate data over an extended period of time. You know, time is a huge factor in how credit scores work. And if there's no information being reported that can help the credit score operate normally, then things start to deteriorate from a credit perspective. And so that's a big worry for a lot of economists, for a lot of people that are concerned about the economy. They should be worried about that. And so one of the things that I think so many organizations are pressing on is, you know, can we limit this period to only 6 months if possible? That may not be possible, but we're all going to have to wait and see what happens.
All right. Well, we've got a bunch of calls waiting to talk to you, and we need to take a quick break. But if you've got a credit question of any sort, anything popping up in your credit report or credit score, you can give us a call here at 312-981-7200. Jennifer, you hang on, because when we get back from the break, Steve Ely from eCredible.com and I will take your question. We've got Steve Ely with us. Steve is the CEO of eCredible. He is one of the most knowledgeable people I've ever met on the subject of credit. And Steve, we've got a whole bunch of calls. You ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Jennifer, thank you for joining us on WGN.
Hi. Thank you for taking the call. I have a Chase credit card that's about 30 years old, in good standing. Very good standing, and they just arbitrarily cut my credit limit in half. And interestingly enough, about two or three years ago, Citibank just pulled that credit card from me, and that too was in good standing. So I'm a bit miffed, you know. They're not delinquent. They're, you know, in good standing.
Are you using them, Jennifer?
Yeah, I was using the Chase, definitely, but I was not using Citibank, and thinking that, oh, well, you know, I'll just sort of keep this one quiet because, you know, I try to pay mostly with cash and check, but, you know, the Citibank was kind of dormant.
Yeah, you're getting hit for really good behavior, I'll have to say. Steve, I'm sure you're seeing this as well. Credit card companies, HELOCs are all cutting back on the amount of credit they're extending, mostly because they're concerned about these delinquency numbers, I would think.
Well, they are, and unfortunately, what all the big banks are trying to do is limit their financial exposure. You know, Jennifer, in your case, even though you've been a great customer, you pay on time, you use the card responsibly, when they extend a credit line to you of, let's say your card has a $10,000 credit line, and you're consistently using $1,000 over the course of a year, for example, well, for them, they have to account for that $9,000 that's available to you, and if for some reason you started using that, and then you didn't start paying because you lost your job or you had an interruption to your income, then they're going to have to take a loss on that. So what their risk people are doing, the credit people at that bank are doing, is they're saying we need to minimize our risk right now because we've got to weather this storm for the long term. So we're going to cut back on open credit cards, on credit card limits, so that we can do that. I know that seems incredibly unfair, and you as a customer, you're feeling like you've been cheated a little bit here. But that's what what's going on. And I do think in the case of the Citi card, it probably was because you weren't using it. And most credit card issuers, if you don't use a card for an extended period of time, they are going to close the account.
Yeah, I talked about this the other day. I mean, that happened to me. I had a credit card, my longest one in my credit history, as a matter of fact, from like 1987, because I'm 1,000 years old. And that card, they said, you haven't used us in a while. We're thinking of canceling you July 15th if you don't use it. So, of course, I immediately went out and used it. But a good friend of mine just had her credit limit cut from, I think it was $10,000 on a card down to $3,000. And if you're carrying any sort of balance at all, that could really muck things up for you, right, with your the amount of sort of spent credit.
Well, there's a bit of a double whammy here that most people don't even think about. The first is now you may have been saving that credit for a rainy day. That was your cushion so that if something did go wrong, at least you had access to a credit card to be able to pay for things. Not that you have to do that, but it's a safety blanket. But the other negative aspect of all this is when they cut your line from $10,000 down to $3,000, in your example at least, they've reduced your available credit, and that messes with your credit ratio, your utilization ratio, and that drags your credit score down. So in addition to you losing access to the credit, now your credit score is very likely going to take a hit as well.
Yeah. Vicki, what exactly is going on with you in credit right now?
Okay, hello. My question is, a few years ago, maybe 2 years ago, we were doing a refinance, and a credit card and an amount of like $3,500 came up, and we could not find out, you know, what that actually was. Then it turned out that my mother had issued a card in my name, but it's all, you know, her debt. So does that, I just recently got a new card from her with my name because I do the shopping for her and all that. So if I get my name off of that, will that amount get off my credit report, and does it count?
So the question is, did your mother knowingly open up a credit card account in your name with your social security number? That would be identity theft.
No, it wasn't. That wasn't the issue. We just added my name to her card because when I would do purchases for her, it had her name. And then they said, well, we can put a card under your name.
Right. Did they take your social...
So that when I'm out, it has my name and my identification.
Okay, I understand now. But did they take your social security number? Do you co-own the account?
That part I don't know. No, they didn't take my social security number. No,
all right.
No.
So, Steve, is that account actually really tied to her credit if they didn't take her social security number?
Well, I suspect...
Or maybe they did. That's why it is appearing on my account.
Yeah, I suspect, Vicki, they did at some point. This is a case where you've become an authorized user on your mother's card, and she may be an authorized user on your card as well. And so what happens is anytime you have an authorized user on a credit card, all the users associated with that credit card, all the names associated with that credit card, have equal and complete liability for that card, the good and the bad. You know, a lot of people use the authorized user approach as a way to help somebody else build credit because it helps that credit card get reported into their credit report. That's a good thing. But in your case, the minute that your name got added to your mother's credit card and she had some debt on that credit card, a balance of $3,500, that balance also shows up in your credit report, which is what caused you the agitation with your refinance.
Right. So,
but then once we were accounted for, it was okay. So she kind of said, all right, it's not really your debt, which was true.
Yeah.
Well, that was lucky, Vicki, that they did that because they frankly didn't need to. And legally, it is your debt. So if your mother doesn't pay it, you're going to owe it. And if your mother passes, for example, that debt now falls to you. Right, Steve?
That's correct.
All right, Vicki, you better be careful and talk to Mom about getting those bills paid on time.
Don't contact the credit number, the credit card company, and say, take my daughter's name off the account now? Can we do that?
Yes, you can.
We can do that.
Yeah.
Okay,
yep.
Great.
Probably a good idea to separate everything out. Thank you so much for your call, though. Cindy joins us on the line now on WGN. Hi, Cindy. What's your credit question?
You know, my credit question was asked with Jennifer why our credit rating, which we've had for really a long time, because I'm about as old as you are, a million years old, and we've had good credit, really good credit, and then my husband came home and he said, they cut our credit by 50%. So then the secondary question is, where do we go to safely check our credit score now?
Ah, that's a good question. So, Steve, where do people go to get credit scores?
Yeah, so there's lots of places you can go. The most common places to go are going to be the companies that offer free credit monitoring with credit scores. So those are companies like Credit Karma, Credit Sesame, LendingTree, NerdWallet, companies like that. So when you sign up for those services, it is completely free. They offer typically a credit report from either Equifax or from TransUnion. Most of them don't offer Experian. And then along with that, you're going to get a credit score, and most of them provide a credit score from Vantage. And that's fine. The Vantage score is perfectly fine. It's very similar to the FICO score, which most people are familiar with. But that'll help you understand what's going on with your score. The other good thing about using one of those services is they all come with what's called not only credit monitoring, but really score monitoring. So if you were to sign up for that right now, you would be able to see your score today. And then a month from now, you'd get an updated score. And you could see that if you made changes to your available credit on any of your credit cards, the score would either go up or down, and you can see the reasons why it went up or down. So I would recommend that you look at one of those free services. That's an easy way to do that. If you don't really want to do that, there are a lot of services you can pay for that'll do that. But I think the free services are pretty good and have a lot of value.
They do. You can also go to myequifax.com and get your free Equifax score and report, and then you can do all kinds of other stuff there, inside of it. And you can also, the point that you have to know just when you use things like Credit Karma is that they pay for their service in one way or another, and the way they pay for it is they then send you offers based on what you're actually spending. But that would be a good place to go. You can also go and get a free credit report every single week at annualcreditreport.com. So this used to be a once-a-year thing from each of the credit reporting bureaus, and now they're doing it weekly through the pandemic. So annualcreditreport.com. It's a .com, but it's actually mandated by the Federal Trade Commission that the three credit reporting agencies, Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion, all of them have to provide this service to you for free, so you can get your credit report there for free. Steve, just before we run out of time, tell us a little bit about alternative data and what eCredible is trying to do.
Yeah, what eCredible does is we help people report their phone and utility bills to TransUnion, one of the three major credit bureaus that happens to be based in Chicago. But what that means is that most utility companies and your cell phone and internet companies don't report your monthly payments to the credit bureaus. So even if you pay those accounts on time, you don't really get any credit for that. And so what we've been able to do is on behalf of the consumer can come to eCredible, they can link their online accounts for their phone and utility bills, we get their payment history, and then we ship it off to TransUnion where it shows up in their credit report. The benefit to you as a consumer is adding more positive information to your credit report will typically improve your credit score, especially if you're new to credit. If you're a young person or you just started building your credit, it can have a really big impact on your credit score. If you're old like Elise and myself, it won't make much difference because right. We have so much stuff in our credit reports. But that's what eCredible is doing. We're helping people build and improve their credit scores at TransUnion.
Which we love. LaShawn, we just have a moment left. Quickly, what's your question for Steve?
Hi. Quickly, me and my wife have a total credit utilization rate of 1%. So that's good. Now, we have five or six cards. She added me as an authorized user to her card. The card with the lower credit line, she charged a big purchase. So I had an alert come on my credit report the next day that a credit card was 34% over the utilization rate. And the day after that, my score dropped to almost 30 points, but her score didn't drop at all when the card was hers. So I'm a little confused. And I did, everything else is still the same.
Steve, we just have 30 seconds. If you could just give him a fast answer.
Sure. Sure, Sean, that's unusual. I suspect your credit score will go back up next month. Your wife's score is probably going to go down next month and back up the month after. So these reporting cycles are really hard to predict. They typically take 30 days, but I think if you just give this 30 or 60 days, it'll all work out.
All right. Steve Ely is the CEO of eCredible. You can find him at eCredible.com. Steve, thanks so much.
Thank you, Elise.